Welcome to the Pascal Ngwe Podcast. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal is an anointed teacher of the Word of God who makes the Bible to come alive. Get ready to be empowered as you listen to the Word of God.
Our God is a good God. And our God is a generous God. He's not stingy. That's why when we, his children, are stingy, we are misrepresenting him. When we are selfish, when we are self-centered, it's a bad representation of our Father. He is not like that. Praise the Lord. He is a good daddy. And he is a daddy who loves you. Amen. And I want to show you this morning that just like every good dad, your father didn't wait for you to be born or to be born again before starting to plan your life. No. You will remember that there is no architect that will draw while the building is being, while we are building, he's drawing. Have you ever seen an architect that we have started digging the foundation, then they say, oh, okay, let me add that. Let me add that to the drawing. It doesn't happen like that. Praise the Lord. Now, an architect usually finishes the whole job. Like he draws everything first. Including the electrical system, the sewage system, the steel, everything that will be in the building is first drawn and put on paper before the first brick is bought. If we human beings know that we should first finish all the planning before you start, how much more God? How do you think that God just woke up the day your mother pushed you out in this world and say, hey, there's another one that has arrived. Let's see what we can do. No. He told Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I already knew you. Yes, oh, yes. Praise the Lord. Amen. David, talking of God, says, all the days written for my life were already in your book before any of them came to be. There's nothing about your life that is a surprise to God. So as a good father, he has provided, not will provide, he has provided everything that you need, including the things you need right now. Come with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. The Bible here says, blessed be the Lord, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He has blessed us. Not he will bless us. He has already blessed us. Tell the person next to you, you are blessed. You are blessed. It's a good thing to know that somebody thought of you and already arranged a number of things. Somebody is asking me this morning, what do I need? What do I do with the blessing? I need a car. I need a house. I need money. You are thinking I'm blessed. Tell me I have money. See, you are missing the whole point. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs 10 verse 22, it is the blessing of the Lord that makes a person rich. Not the hard work of the person. The blessing of the Lord is what makes a person rich. So when I'm saying to you, you are blessed, basically, I'm saying to you, everything you need is already there. That's good news. Everything you need for your family is already provided. Everything you need for your health is already provided. Everything you need for your ministry is already provided. Everything you need for your marriage is already provided. You are blessed. Amen. Hallelujah. Say with me, I am blessed. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. His divine power has given to us, not will give to us. You see, I'm telling you that God is a good father. He didn't wait for you to be born before he can start worrying about what to do. Long before you were born, he already provided. Ephesians 1:3 says, he has blessed you. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 says, he has given. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that God had, that the things that have been freely given to us by God. One of the major jobs of the Holy Ghost in your life is to make you aware of what has already been freely given you. Not what will be given you. Your life is a history to God. I'm telling you that David says, all the days ordained for me were already written in your book. Praise the Lord. Now here's the good news. Obadiah chapter 1 verse 17. Somebody is asking, why are you giving the scriptures? What are we talking about? Just keep listening. You're going to hear what I'm talking about. Are you the one preaching or am I the one preaching? I'm the one preaching. And I think I should decide how I want to preach today. I have decided to start by scriptures. Don't try to compete with me here. Just flow with the message. Tell your neighbor, just flow with the message. Flow with the message. Flow with the message. You are asking, what is the title? What are we talking about? We are talking about the scriptures. We are talking about the scriptures. Relax. Obadiah 1:17. But on Mount Zion, I've told you before in this church, whenever you see Zion, it is referring to what? The church. When you see Zion in the Bible, don't think too much. He's talking about the church. What Zion was in the Old Testament is what the church is in the New Testament. So he's saying, on Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance. That's why when you come to church, and you really come to church, many things start leaving your life. Deliverance. Number two, there shall be holiness. Now we're having problems. We are now having problems. Lord help us. Lord help us right now. Help us. My God. Holiness. I think deliverance, we all agree that, you know, there should be deliverance. But holiness. Yo. No, 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 no. Praise the Lord. Look, you are holy in the name of Jesus. You are holy. You are holy. You are holy. You are holy. Even those of you that are saying, hey, Pastor, hey. Holiness is far from me, like Jupiter is from Mars. The house of Jacob, listen, the house of Jacob shall possess their possession. For the first time, you are hearing it in the future. The whole time you've been hearing it done, 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 done. Obadiah is saying that when you come to church, the other guys have told you God has already provided the things. But usually when you come to church, you don't see those things. Am I talking to the right people? Now you look around you, you don't see the blessing, you don't see the increase, you don't see all of this and that. The Bible supposedly says that God has already given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. But you are still saying you are ungodly. You are still saying you don't have life. Like you are struggling, money, this and that, you don't have. So Obadiah gave us a promise because Obadiah is a prophet. He said, when you come to Zion, there is a high possibility that you will possess your possessions. It doesn't say you'll possess some possession. It says the house of Jacob, praise the Lord, shall possess their possessions. You don't need to possess my possession. That's why you shouldn't compete in the church. You can't have my wife. Fight to have your wife. There is a wife for you. You can't have another person's beloved. The Bible doesn't say you shall possess other members' possessions. There is a beloved just for you. You can't fight to get my car. You might not drive it. There's a car just for you. Praise the Lord. So you see, that's where we're having a problem, is that when we are in Zion, we are told that God has given you this. God has done this for you. God has blessed you with this. But those things are never usually there. And this gets a lot of us to try to go outside Zion to get them and bring them inside to holinize them. Because you come to Zion, you are told you have this, but you don't see those things yet. So you start figuring out, what am I going to do? Then you go out of Zion. Anybody that has gone out of Zion, I want to tell you, you don't need to go out of Zion. Everything you need on Mount Zion is right there. But we have a problem which Solomon clearly stated. I'm still just giving you scriptures. Let the word of God speak to us. Ecclesiastes 10 verse 15. The labor of fools wearies them. Why? They do not even know how to go to the city. So you see, some people, sometimes most of us, you are in Zion, you are told that you have this, this has been done for you, this has been done, but you do not know how to access it. I'm told that God, Jesus has provided for my healing, but I'm still sick. I'm told that Jesus has paid for my poverty on the cross, but I'm still poor. They do not know how. You see, the know-how is what is lacking in the body of Christ. Not the information about what is yours, but how to get it. So they do not know how to access the city. Because you will agree with me, it is in the city that all the nice things are. When you are in the village, everybody wants to go to the city. We are in the city, there are nice roads, there are nice restaurants, there are nice hospitals. Everything is nice in the city. But when you don't know how to get to the city, you will remain a villager. Praise the Lord. Thank God he hasn't left us in complete ignorance. Psalm 103 verse 7 says, he made known his ways to Moses. And that is what we need this morning, to know his ways. You see, because this guy don't know how, he doesn't know how to go to the city. See, the city, there's a way to the city. There's a way to the city. There's a way to your job. There's a way to your breakthrough. There's a way to the healing. But if you don't know the ways of the Lord, you will remain in the village. Are you getting me? I'm taking you slowly because before I start hammering, you need to understand first, where are we coming from? Praise the Lord. So, let's go back to Obadiah. Because Obadiah has a lot of keys for us already. He says, on Mount Zion, number one, there shall be deliverance. Then there shall be what? Holiness. And then the house of Jacob shall possess their possession. So Obadiah is giving you two major keys already that will lead to you possessing something. And the first key he's giving you is that when you come to Zion, don't get busy quickly to try to possess your possessions. It will be a natural response to you. Your first focus should be deliverance. On Mount Zion, there shall be what? Deliverance. The necessity of deliverance before possessing your possession, before seeing how good God is so important. It's so important. I know we are selling the gospel of come to Jesus, you will be rich. Come to Jesus. But you see, that's not how Jesus starts. The Bible says, he who began a good work in you, not on you, not for you, in you. God is usually focusing first on you becoming, not before giving to you. The Bible says that they that receive him, he gave them power to become. To become. Before he gave them power to have. Before he gave them power against. He gave them first power to become. That's how God starts with you. And if you're not aware of this, you understand, you will want to quickly rush to this and this and this. And that's why you will end up creating your own thing. God starts with deliverance, getting your life in order first. But your mind is, I want to have this. I want to already have this. You see, he knows that in your current state, anything he gives will be a waste. Everything he gives you now, you are bound. I mean, if you are bound by something, no matter what we pour there, the thing will just come and, you know, succumb to the bondage that is already present. That's why the first job that God does when you come to Mount Zion is that he starts scanning you and screening you and observing all the areas of bondage in your life. And he starts a work of deliverance. So he says, you shall know the truth. The truth will set you free. He said, the Spirit of God is upon me. Has anointed me to set at liberty those that are bound, those that are captive. That's the first job he does first. He works on your heart. Some of us are bound by bitterness. You are bound by lies. You are bound by fear. You are bound by ancestral spirits. There are so many things that are working against you. In fact, there is a reason why you are the way you are. You are not the way you are just because you are the way you are. There are reasons that are behind the way you are. So God starts a work of deliverance, and that deliverance starts with, number one, your salvation. He saves you from hell. He delivers you from your eternal destiny in hell. It starts there. You get born again, you are delivered from hell. After you are delivered from hell, he starts delivering you from certain things that have creep inside of you over the years. Bad friends, bad habits, bad behavior, bad attitude, sin. Deliverance. That's where he starts. And many people want him to rush too fast. After you are delivered, naturally holiness starts coming. Because unholiness is connected to a lot of spirits. Oh, yes. See, so you are not very quiet. The necessity of holiness before the possession, do you see, is that Everything that God brings to you must bring him glory. God doesn't bless you so that you can settle your scores with people around. God blesses you for his own glory. God blesses you for his own plans and projects. Not you trying to impress this person. Not you trying to look better than this other person. And many a times, you are into wanting possessions so that you can prove, so that you can show. That's not what he wants. When you are still trying to get him, when you are still trying to get him so you can show something, you are not free. If I want to get a car so I can prove to this person that I'm better than them, I am not free. I'm still living under their opinion. No matter how they think about me, it's still important to me. God wants to bless you with a car so that you can take care of yourself, take care of your family, and take care of his work. That's why many people that are blessed without being delivered and without being made holy, they don't stay in the church. Anything you give them will take them into the world because they want to go and score points. There's no holiness so that whatever comes is to glorify God. Whatever comes is to exalt God, is to serve God. Are you here? So that's how it goes. The deliverance and the holiness are preparation grounds. And once God has worked on you enough, do you understand? Sometimes, even without you asking, those things start coming. You start possessing your possessions. Praise the Lord. Amen. I hope you are still here. You were asking me for titles, but now you are very quiet now. So number one, the necessity of deliverance. Number two, the necessity of what? Say it. I didn't say it, you said it. Now, there's a scripture here that should really get us thinking. Hosea 7 verse 1. When I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered. He said, I was about to heal this guy. Then I discovered that there's a problem. Isaiah 59 verse 1 and 2. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquity have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Holiness. Holiness. Lack of holiness becomes the reason why you can't possess the possession. You can't possess the possession. Proverbs 28 verse 13. Whoever conceals their sins does not prosper. Whoever conceals their sins does not prosper. Are you better than God? Are you wiser than God? God is saying that if you hide sins, you will not prosper. But the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Holiness. First John 1:9. I'm giving you scriptures. If we confess our sins, this is the good news for some of you. You are sinners. Some of us are sinners. We are all sinners anyway. But this is always good news for us. After a preacher has hammered, he must always come to 1 John 1 verse 9. This is to relieve us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just.
He will forgive us and purify us from all unrighteousness. Praise the Lord. So he says, if you conceal your sins, you will not prosper. But if you confess and renounce, you will find mercy and he will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So you are seeing the necessity of deliverance. You are seeing the necessity of holiness. But I want to be honest with you, people of God. Many a times, you find a person that God has really helped. A lot of things have left their lives. Do you understand? And to be honest, they are no more messing up or messing around. Yet still, they are not possessing their possessions. Do you see now? I'm about to go where I want to talk about. Everything, I was just helping you fix yourself here, fix yourself. Because if you haven't even fixed this one, the thing I'm about to teach, it will be such a, like, it's like grade 12, and you are in grade RR, like we are just, so I needed to cover grade RR for some, before we now go to the higher grades. Because many a times, I'm telling you now, you are delivered, and you are holy, but you are still not possessing anything. Which is taking us to the necessity of pressing. You understand? The necessity of what? Pressing. After you have been delivered, and after you are trying, you are holy now. I mean, you are trying your best, you are holy. But still, the things are not coming. There's another step. Remember, we are learning what? The ways. How to go to the city. How to go to the city. The necessity to press. Deuteronomy chapter 2 verse 24. God is talking to the Israelites. He says to them, rise, take your journey, and cross over the river Arnon. Amen. Look, I have given into your hand Sihon the Amorite and the king of Heshbon and his land. Is God saying I will give? What is he saying? I have given. The same talk we're talking about earlier. I have given already. But look at them for the instruction. He says, begin to possess it. And engage him in battle. Are you? He says, I have given you. Now, begin to possess. And how do you possess? Engage this king in battle. Engage him in battle. I have given you the land. Yes. I have said it is your wife. Yes. I have said it is your job. Yes. Yes. I've said all those things. And you are delivered and you are free. You are no more in Egypt. You are now sacrificing in the wilderness. So the blood of God is covering you. You are holy. But the land that I have given you, you have to engage in battle. He said, begin to possess it. Engage him in battle. So this is the necessity to press. When you are not getting the thing through deliverance, when you are not getting the thing through holiness, you have to know that you have moved to the higher level now, where somebody is saying, I know it is yours, but I will not give it to you. So our series for Agas, those who press. Those who do what? Those who press shall possess. Those who press. Those who press shall possess. Help me ask a person to you. Are you a presser? Are you a presser? You're going to become a presser by the time this series is over. You will be a presser, a presser. You will learn to press. Luke 16, verse 16. The law and the prophet were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. Hallelujah. And everyone is pressing into it. Everyone is pressing. Everyone is pressing. Everyone is pressing. You are not an exception. Luke 16, 16 again, NIV. The law and the prophet were proclaimed until John. Since that time, the good news of the kingdom of God has been preached or is being preached, and everyone is forcing their way into it. Why must you press? 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9. A great and effectual door has opened to me. A great and effectual door. Not will open. Not mine open. Has opened. The door is already open. God has given. God has blessed. The door has opened. But there are many adversaries. I want to mention seven adversaries that are in front of your door. As you want to go through a door that is an open door. The door is open, but there are many adversaries. Paul is saying, a great and effectual door has opened for me, but there are many adversaries in front of the door. Who are these adversaries? Number one, Satan is your number one adversary. You just need to go to the book of Exodus to understand your adversary. He doesn't give up easily. Let my people go. No. Let my people go. No. You have to hammer many times. God wants you to go. God has sent a prophet for you to go. God is even telling there's a good land waiting for you, but there's somebody holding you hostage. Like, it is not God here still wanting you to stay. God has even sent help already. He has sent a preacher. He has sent everything for you to go, but you are still in Egypt. Why? Because Pharaoh doesn't want to let you go. The doors are open, but there's an adversary. The Bible says, your adversary, the devil, he's one of your adversaries. Prowls around like a rolling lion, seeking to whom he might devour. Adversary number two, demons. Demons are different from Satan. They work for him, but they are not him. And he is not them. We are told of a woman who was burnt for 18 years because of a spirit of infirmity. Not Satan. The spirit of infirmity that was working for Satan. And the Bible says she couldn't raise herself up. Number three, your flesh. These are your adversaries. The things that you are trying to move forward. But these things are on the way. You are trying to possess your possession. Your flesh. Meaning your own self. Like, let's put the devil away. Let's put Satan aside. Let's put the demons aside. Just you by yourself. You'll be surprised at how you will fight yourself. How you will sabotage yourself. I shouldn't say these things in the church. You are your own enemy many a times. Yeah. Look at that, your anger. Huh? Look at that attitude that you're having. Nobody can implore you. Just your own attitude. Your own pride. Your own pride. Your flesh. Everybody that comes around you, you must sleep with them. Including people God has sent to help you. You can't hold on. Like, as if, no. Come. So you are forever fighting yourself. God sends you a destiny helper. You sleep with the destiny helper. and you are in the same place. The destiny has said, no, if I stay here, I'll die and run away. There are two beloveds like that were in the church. The pastor couldn't understand, why are these people not getting married? Every time he asked the guy, so when are you marrying this guy? He said, no, I'm still thinking about it. Almost 5 years, he's still thinking about it. So the pastor comes and said, no, this is too much. You've been here for too long now. Why are you not marrying this sister? He says, pastor, do you want to know the truth? He said, yes, that's what I'm asking. Say, you know, before I met this sister, I was a virgin. Like I was a virgin. As I'm talking to you now, only God knows. The sister roasted him. So he became angry that because of her, he has lost his virginity. And he decided to punish her by never marrying her. Tell your neighbor, your flesh. We are too quick to accuse the devil. And he's true, he is an adversary, but he is not the only adversary. The Bible says many adversaries. Many adversaries. Many a times, your own laziness. Do you understand? Like, your own laziness is the reason why you are not possessing your possession. Your own fear is the reason why you are not possessing your possession. Be delivered from your flesh in the name of Jesus Christ. That's why we press. You have to press through the flesh. And you have to, Paul says, I bring my body under subjection. Like you have to press the body down. If you're going to rise. If you go around satisfying your body, anything your body asks, you give. You're not going to possess anything. I say you're not going to possess anything. The body says, I want to sleep, you give him sleep. I want to have sex, you give him sex. I want to drink, you give him. You will never possess any possession that is yours. Number four, ancestral covenants. Here we're talking about your family background. Those forces are there. They've been there before you were born. And they've been keeping the whole family hostage. Everybody does what they want. Now you are coming here, so you are born again. You are coming here, so you're not going to do those things. So they're going to start fighting you. Ancestral covenants. Number six. Ignorance. Things you don't know become adversaries to you. And number seven, poor governance. Hey, you can try your best, but your counselor in the place where you have gone to place your house. He has ensured that load shedding will be a daily bread every day. That is going to become a problem. Poor governance. That your president has decided that this country is not rising. We will compete to be the poorest country on earth. We make sure that we are among the poorest countries. Like you are trying to emerge. You are saying, no, we want to be great. Your president has decided that we will be the poorest country on earth. That's what you are dealing with. A lot of enemies. The educational system, they have decided that the child must not decide if he's a male or a female. You are trying to raise a holy family. You have to fight that poor governance. If you don't press, a lot of things will not work. Are you seeing those seven things? I came to tell you this morning, real faith presses. Real faith will press. Real faith doesn't wait. Real faith is shown through your pressing. He says, show me your faith without action. Meaning, show me your faith without any pressing, and I will show you my faith by my pressings. Real faith presses. I know you are trusting God for this. You are believing God for this. Show me your pressings. Where have you been pressing? And how often have you been pressing? Maybe this is why you haven't possessed your possessions. Oh, you are a very good Christian. Oh, you are delivered from the world. Oh, you are living a holy life. You are not sleeping around, but you are still poor. This step has come to break that thing out of your life. Praise the Lord. Come with me to the book of John chapter 11, verse 38. The Bible says, then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb after Lazarus is dead for 4 days. It was a cave and a stone laid against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Hey! Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time, there is a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days. Real faith presses. Jesus is aware that this guy is dead for 4 days. Jesus is aware that all hope is lost. Jesus is aware that under normal circumstances, you should not believe anymore. This woman told Jesus, I know he will rise in the resurrection of the dead. Like she has already postponed the thing to when everybody will rise from the dead. So she believes in the resurrection, but not just this one. She believes he will rise with all of us. So Jesus says, take away the stone. She said, no, you can't do that. This man is already smelling. Then Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? What belief is he talking about? He's saying, real faith keeps pressing. I know they've told you it's over. I know they've told you you can't have it anymore. But real faith keeps pressing. So she had faith. Jesus had real faith. He knew he's dead, but he believed something can still happen. And he acted on it by saying, roll away the stone. How many dead things you've left dead? They can come back to life. But you got to believe. You got to press. You got to look at your marriage and see that everybody says, you know, this marriage, you should just divorce. There's nothing that can happen. Real faith presses. You look at somebody you've been working on for a very long time. And even the person is saying to you, give up on me. There's no hope. Real faith presses. You are told that this thing will not work. You've tried even to make it work, and it didn't work. And everybody said, you know, move to the next thing. But something inside of you tells you this thing can still work. Real faith will press. And many times, some Lazarus could have risen from the dead if there were people who had real faith, that they kept pressing. Many things were not going to remain in the caves and in the graves if there were people who pressed. I came to tell you, how about you press a bit more? Eh? How about you go and press that thing again? How about you rise up and press it again? Have you already thrown the towel? You already organizing a funeral? Oh, you've already organized a funeral. It's over. It's done. Jesus is saying, even after the funeral, you can still press. You are watching this program right now. You've already divorced. You can still press. This is Jesus pressing over a dead body that is smelling.
if Jesus could believe that a dead body that is smelling can come back to life, I don't know what you have that cannot come back to life. You can press. We give up too soon. That's our problem. Are you here? Let's look at another person who prays. Mark 2 verse 3. We're almost done. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four, meaning four people were carrying this guy. And when they could not come nigh unto him because of the press, there was a press. A lot of people, they couldn't go to Jesus. The miracle said, let's do it next time. Next time we'll try again. That this big obstacle, we tried. You know that we wanted you to get healed. We carried you from your house. We brought you here. But look at all these people. Look at all these adversaries. Look at all these obstacles. We cannot pass. So we tried. Let's go back. Not these guys. I said, not these guys. Guys decided, the Bible says, they uncovered the roof. Huh? What a pressing. You came and find this big obstacle. Under normal circumstances, you're supposed to say, you know what, let's try tomorrow. Let's try next week. Let's wait for the next time. There will always be another opportunity. But not these four guys. These four guys were pressers. I'm saying real faith presses. Real faith presses. Real faith presses. Many things have remained undone because you didn't press enough. They uncovered the roof. This is the first time we realize that you could press to the degree where you break a roof for somebody to be healed. What have you broken for your breakthrough? What have you broken? What have you uncovered? In the name of, I'm trying to get this thing done. You are always diplomatic, always wanting things to be the way they are. What have you done that is unusual? They uncovered the roof where Jesus was, and when they had broken it up, I don't even know whose house this was. That I believe that it was Jesus' house, that I believe that it was his mother's house. They just broke the whole thing. Imagine you are teaching under there. You just hear crook, crook on the roof. You think about that. You are trying to teach crook, crook. The nails crook, crook. The noise itself is already disturbing the teaching. So you have to deal with people saying, hey, what are you guys doing? You are disturbing us here. And they continue removing those nails. They continue removing those nails as if they are not hearing what people are saying to them. Look, you are becoming a real presser in the name of Jesus Christ. That you're going to start pressing. If you could overlook what people are saying, if you could overlook what people are doing, you will get a lot of things done. You'll get a lot of things done. I tell you, they shut their ears to the complaints and people saying, but you are letting a lot of death that is coming to us. They didn't mind the people. They uncovered that roof big enough for a paralyzed person to pass through. You must understand, it's not like maybe it's just a small baby. It's a full grown up man carried by four people. So it's the size of a bed. Like you have to open the roof the size of a big bed. At least a single bed. And as all these things are happening, Jesus is teaching under there. I'm sure by all means he was disturbed by all of them. So he decided to also watch. Let me see what these guys are doing. I'm telling you, because he couldn't teach. They removed that zinc or whatever that was. And they started laying the guy low. Like when you are laying a corpse. And the man landed in front of Jesus, where Jesus was sitting. So they even calculated that Jesus is sitting here. Let's move here.
Because if they didn't calculate, well, the thing was going to land on the head of Jesus Christ. So they needed to calculate that the gun was laid in front of Jesus so that Jesus would not say, I don't know. He is here in front of you. You can see. Listen to me. There are things that when you do, people will not say, no, I didn't know what you were saying. I didn't hear what you were saying. They will know what you are saying. If you press properly, you will not need to pray. Just press. If you press well, your pressing is a prayer in itself. Because these people didn't have to tell Jesus, can you heal this guy? By the time the guy landed, Jesus knew what he's supposed to do. Our talking is too much. Our pressing is too little. My brand is Apollo Katamanda. They laid down the bed. You say it's a bed. I'm sure you agree with me. A bed is not a small thing. Lay down the bed. Huh? Wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Now listen to this. When Jesus saw their faith. Real faith. Presses. Jesus saw their faith. He said unto the sick of this palsy, son, thy sins have been forgiven. The rest is history. As I close, those who don't press, don't possess. Luke 8:19. Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. Same situation. The four people came, found the press, made their way through the roof. The mother of Jesus is coming with his brothers. They find the press, and listen to what they do. And it was told Jesus by certain, which said, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, meaning they're standing outside, desiring to see thee. And Jesus answered and said, my mother and my brothers are these that hear the word of God. Hey. Same situation. Mary and the brother stayed outside. They said, go call him. Let him come. Tell him we are here. It's too many people. We can't come inside. Let him come here. Ah! She waited the whole day. Nothing happened. You are saying that I'm a child of God. God must come here and do this. This must. You see, that's why the thing is like that. Praise the Lord. But this morning, I've shown you, you can press. Jesus was a presser himself. He says in Luke 12:41-50, he says, I have come to bring fire on the earth. That's what I came to do. How I wish it was already kindled. I want to get married. How? I wish I was already married. You wish. Oh. You wish and wish and wish and wish. How? I wish it was already kindled. I came to bring fire and I wish the fire was already kindled. Ah, Jesus, the fire cannot kindle itself. I wish I had a house. I wish people were no more laughing at me. I wish my life was different. You wish. After making that statement, Jesus corrected himself very fast. Look at verse 50. But I have a baptism to undergo. I have a baptism to undergo. And what constraint I am under until it is completed. What constraint I am under. Pressure. He says, I am under a lot of pressure until I accomplish what I came to do. Are you under pressure? Huh? Are you under pressure? Ask your neighbor. Are you under pressure? Is there a pressing? Is there any pressing? You are wishing. You are just wishing. Hey, I wish somebody will call me. I wish somebody will help me. I wish. R. Kelly kept wishing. He's in prison right now. Wishing. He's in jail. You wish. You know, R. Kelly is in prison. We're wishing. I wish. Look at where we are now. I have a baptism to undergo. Are you aware of certain things you have to undergo? I say, how am I constrained until it is completed? May you be delivered from any deceptions that has come to get you off key. That you are wasting time, wasting resources, wasting energy, hoping and wishing for things. Amen. Hoping and wishing. Amen. There's nothing like that in this life. Paul was a presser. And I'm giving you this name so that you can join this list of pressers. That it shall be said about you one day, she was a presser. He was a presser. Amen. Paul says, not that I have already obtained all this. Or I have already arrived at my goal. The way you are behaving, it's as if you have achieved everything already. No, you wake up at 8. Sometimes at 9. And you go to bed at 7. Like you are behaving as a retiree. Or what you call that. You've retired. Eh? You have so much time. You watch so much TV. My God. Paul is saying, not that I have already obtained. Are you aware you haven't obtained yet? Or I have already arrived at my goal. Ask your neighbor, have you arrived at your goal? He says, but I press on. 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 I came to tell you, you need to press on. You need to press on. I don't know what has stopped you, but Paul said, I haven't reached my goal. I haven't reached my goal. I cannot stop here. I will press on. Some of you, your foot is now on the brake. And some of you, your foot is on the clutch. When your foot is on the car is not going anywhere. When your foot is on the brake, the car has stopped. There's another pedal called accelerator. You have to press that thing. If you don't press that accelerator, the car is not going anywhere. The car is not going anywhere. The church is not going anywhere. The growth are not going anywhere. You have to press. You have to press. Mashebre katora mandama. He says, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do. Forgetting what is behind me. Straining toward what is ahead of me. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me. I press on towards the goal. I press on. There is a goal you set out for when you started your journey of life. Are you still chasing the goal? Ah! Last Sunday I spoke about distraction. You better go and listen to that message. Are you still pressing on? Or you have just given up? You have given up. You got discouraged. Because this didn't work, that didn't work, that didn't work. But Paul told you there are many adversaries. There are many adversaries. Why are you surprised? Why are you surprised? Why are you surprised? And you see, Paul is saying the same thing twice. In the same, he said, I press on. And at the end, he says again, I press on. It's to talk to somebody and say, but Pastor, I pressed before. Press again. Press again. I said, press again, press again, press again, press again, press again, press again. Pastor, I tried before, I didn't know. Press again, press again, press again. Can I tell you something? It's either you press or you will be pressed. You need to decide. If you stay there, you will be pressed. But if you press, you will be moving. My last scripture, 1 Samuel 13 verse 3 says, when the Israelites saw that their situation was critical and that their army was hard pressed, they started hiding in caves. Eh? You see, when you don't press, you will be hard pressed. And you start hiding. You better start pressing right now. I say you better start pressing right now. Even in prayer, start pressing in prayer right now. Father, restore the fire back in my system. Whatever has killed me, whatever has discouraged me, let it die now. Open your mouth and begin to pray. Open your mouth and begin to pray. Father, let the pressing return. Let the pressing return. Mandelamo, Sandelemo, Chapela Meno, Casentenemo, Manchele Pane, Lige de Mane, Zantoko Pena. You are rekindling your fire. You are rekindling your fire. You will not give up in front of the tomb. You will not give up yet. Masikelema, who told you it is over? It is not over with your life. It is not over with your life. You can rise again. You can break again. Masekatama, Mashatapaya, Mantelemo, Japela Demo. Open your mouth and cry out to the Lord. Father, revive the fire in me. Father, revive the fire in me. Father, awaken my dream. Father, awaken my dream. In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and pray. Ha ha ha. Yata pa kola para panama. Entele masope katele faramandanama. Liprende zipele katoro manama. That ministry will rise again. That dream will rise again. That family will be built. That house will be completed. That car will be bought. Those disciples will be redeemed. You will press. You will press. You will press. You will press. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You will press. You will press. Masatapaya. Masatapaya. Masetapaya. Makolopayada. Mantelema sukarama. I'm talking to somebody right now. You have given up. You have stopped dreaming. You have stopped chasing. But God came to say, press again. Pray again. Try again. Thank you, Jesus. The presence of God is coming down. The help from God is coming down. You are breaking out of that limitation. You are breaking out of that limitation. You will not die where you are. You will not die where you are. God has a great plan. God can move you further.
God can move you forward. You can move forward. You can move forward. My God. My God. Jesus. If you are watching this message and you are not born again, I want to tell you something. The main thing you need right now is to surrender your life to Jesus. That's the first deliverance you need. If you're going to possess your possession, you need to be delivered from sin and guilt and shame. And the power of God is here right now. I want to pray for you. Under this atmosphere, I'm saying, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I'd like to pray with you. At the count of three, you can raise your right hand. 1, 2, 3. Raise it up. Pastor, pray with me. I want to be born again. I want to be delivered from sin, from death, from hell. Thank you, Lord. May God bless each one of you. Now you're already born again, but you stop pressing. You stop pushing. You stop believing. Here we are. In front of the word of God. And God is saying to you, my child, this is not the life I called you to live. You know it. This is not the life I called you to live. I didn't call you to be a beggar. I didn't call you to depend on people. I called you to depend on me. Why did you stop pressing? Why have you settled for less? Why have you settled for less? This is our year of going deeper and doing more. Are you doing more? You can start pressing again. You say, Pastor, I want to recommit my life to Jesus. I can see I have lost my way. I can see I have lost it. I can see I've allowed the devil to deceive me. I have allowed the devil to destroy me. But thank you for speaking the word this morning. Thank you for speaking to me. I'm talking to you right now. This is your time. The Bible says, if you can hear his voice, do not harden your heart. The presence of God is here to deliver you, to restore you, and to empower you to start pressing again. It is only over when you give up. Until then, you can still make it. Pastor, I want you to commit my life to Jesus. At the count of three, you can raise your right hand. 1, 2, 3, your hand up. I want you to commit my life to Jesus. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Now, repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Please forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe you died for me. On the third day you rose again, that I might be justified. Right now, I believe my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I'm saved. I'm restored. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for reminding me this morning that I can press again. I can knock again. I can try again. Thank you, Jesus, for not giving up on me. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me another chance to get my life in order. I choose to press again. I choose to believe again. I choose to try again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Remember to subscribe to receive our latest service notifications and to share the link. You can also watch our pastor, Pastor Pascal, live on our Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ, or on our YouTube channel, Alive Bible Church SA. Remember, you are alive to give life.